The powerful watchdog of the 1,100-mile California coastline is in a fight for its survival. Earlier this year, an appellate court found the California Coastal Commission to be unconstitutional. The state Supreme Court is now reviewing the case. It's not the first such challenge for the agency, which oversees everything from oil rigs to the design of beach homes. Over the past 3 decades, the commission has survived hundreds of lawsuits by developers, property owners, and environmentalists, even attempts by governors to abolish it. And as NPR's John McChesney reports, Californians are so passionate about their coast that the commission will most likely survive this latest challenge as well.
The Coastal Commission was a child of the early environmental movement, born in the early 1970s following a disastrous oil spill off the coast of Santa Barbara and an all-out assault on open coastland by real estate developers. Warner Chabot, now with the Ocean Conservancy, dropped out of graduate school to work on the voter initiative that created the first commission.
Local governments were not able to resist the incredible power and lobbying of developers and the money that was there. Many local government elected officials are, you know, ex-realtors and developers themselves.
The initiative met fierce resistance from utilities, builders, realtors, and the oil industry. But Chabot says it also had wide bipartisan and highly motivated supporters.
We had everything from Charlton Heston standing in the ocean with his blue jeans rolled up doing a pro bono commercials for us, high school students out walking door-to-door doing leafleting.
55% of California voters passed the act, creating a 12-member commission charged with protecting the coastal environment and securing public access to beaches. The ideal of the Coastal Act was a partnership between the state body and local governments, but the commission was given the unprecedented power to overrule local governments and say no to coastal development. That power was put to the ultimate test when the commission went up against one of the state's most powerful families, the Hearsts, and a compliant county government. Here on the Central Coast, halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco, hundreds of elephant seals are basking on the beach. The small black pups squeal for their mothers, and the long snouted males hump along the beach like giant slugs. Behind, perched like a toy on the high green mountains, you can just make out the extravagant mansion built by newspaper magnate William Randolph Hearst. 130 square miles of land and 18 miles of this coast belong to the Hearst Corporation. Back in the 60s, the Hearst Corporation planned to build a city of 60,000 people here. Shirley Bianchi, now a San Luis Obispo County supervisor, fought with Hearst for over 2 decades.
They used the power of the law and lawyers and their money to try to bamboozle the rest of us.
Years of contention followed. Then 5 years ago, the Coastal Commission came to town to review what the county had approved. Again, Shirley Bianchi.
The Coastal Commission hearing was absolutely fabulous. We had approximately 1,200 citizens there, and the Coastal Commission recognized that there was great opposition to the plan and supported us.
That decision is regarded by coastal protectionists as one of the finest hours of the commission. Today, the Hearst Corporation has concluded a conservation agreement that will halt any development on the coastal land and will provide full access to the public. But that doesn't mollify Mark Massara, a long-haired surfer and lawyer who is the Sierra Club's attack dog on coastal issues.
For example, just in the next year and a half, we've got 4,000 new luxury hotel rooms opening in Orange, LA, and San Diego counties. Combine that with, you know, thousands of mansions and super malls and big box malls and pavement and all of the rest of the suburban infrastructure that we've lined the coast with, and you can begin to get a feel for what's been lost.
That some has been lost, few would dispute. Commissioners are appointed by politicians, after all, and there have been times when the agency has had a more permissive approach to development. The commission staff, on the other hand, has remained relatively stable over the years. The executive head of the staff is Peter Douglas, who has practically defied gravity by surviving in that post for 20 years. Douglas says with the near doubling of California's population over the commission's lifetime, the pressures to develop the coast have been relentless.
The coast, like any precious geography anywhere on the planet, is never finally saved. It's always being saved. As long as there are these pressures to develop, these pressures to make money off the natural environment.
Even though the commission has approved 98% of the 100,000 coastal permits submitted, Douglas argues that most of them have been pared down and altered to reduce negative environmental impacts. And, he says, some people simply misunderstand the intention of the Coastal Act and Initiative.
They weren't passed to stop all development. They were passed to make sure that that development which does occur is done in the most environmentally sensitive manner possible and most protective of public rights to and along the coast.
The intention of the Coastal Act was to promote cooperation between local governments and the commission. Locals were supposed to draw up development plans to be approved by the state, but even after 30 years, some of them have still not done that. And in several places, tensions fester, and no worse than in the city of Malibu, which incorporated along 22 miles of prime coastline just north of Los Angeles. The city failed to file a plan for its coastal area, so the commission imposed its own. The resulting 425-page document governs nearly every aspect of development in the city. Setbacks, home height, even how loud a buzzer at a filling station can be. Christy Hogan is Malibu's attorney.
I have to tell you, the last time Americans were put under that kind of rules, they started throwing tea into a harbor. Because it is exactly that. It is living under rules that were written by people who have no accountability to the voters.
Republican State Assemblyman John Campbell is one of the most outspoken critics of the commission. He represents the southern coastal towns of Newport Beach and Laguna Beach.
They have the reputation of being the most dictatorial and abusive agency in state government. They say, well, we don't really want to micromanage, but we have to have a plan. But they have the complete, total authority to reject that plan for really no reason at all, if that's what they want to do.
But in spite of all the criticism from both left and right, almost no one in the state appears eager to eliminate the commission, not even Republican critic John Campbell.
No, I don't see that there is very much impetus at all amongst Republicans to eliminate the Coastal Commission.
California's real estate development industry may have other opinions about the commission, but they aren't talking. NPR contacted half a dozen of the big builders in the state, and all declined comment. And so far, the political stars have never been properly aligned to permit any one politician or party to disable or dominate the commission. And those stars most likely don't line up because Californians remain passionate about preserving their coast for both aesthetic and economic reasons. The coast, after all, generates an estimated $30 billion in revenues from 300 million visitors each year.
The coast of California is like the third rail of politics. You know, you touch it and you die.
Nearly everyone we spoke with for this report had something critical to say about the commission. But then they added, just imagine what this coast would look like if we hadn't had the commission. As Commission Executive Director Peter Douglas says, our accomplishments are what you don't see. John McChesney, NPR News, San Francisco.